The Flasher Kickstarter, iOS 6 fonts, Mountain Lion coming this week, Galaxy Nexus now $100 on contract, and the Gangster Squad's new cut. It's Tuesday, July 24th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of iWeek. First off, I just want to thank all of those that responded to my call and for basically a bombardment of iTunes reviews. I count 5 new reviews at the time of writing this show, so thanks to those that have taken the time to update or write new reviews. It really does mean a lot, and I thank you for that. If you haven't had the time, please go out to iTunes and search for iWeek and just write a simple review about the show. Really appreciate it. Next up, I just want to share a couple things to open the show with. First up is a Kickstarter project that I think a lot of people here will enjoy. It's for the Flasher iPhone case. It's a nifty little project that basically takes the LED flash that your iPhone is able to do for alerts and you use that concept for a case. According to its Kickstarter project, Flasher is an iPhone/4S case that's powered by the iPhone's LED camera flash and iOS's built-in LED flash alerts. When you turn on LED flash alerts in your accessibility settings, your iPhone's LED camera flash lights up for calls, texts, emails, and all push notifications. The Flasher ensures your notifications are seen in vivid color from any orientation and in any situation. For us, this design isn't just about functionality, but it's also just about a case that's just fun to roll with. Early backers can get one of these cases for $30, and it comes in a variety of colors. The case is smartly designed to allow use of the flash when taking pictures or simply using it for a flashlight. The only bad thing about all of this is that we all expect a new iPhone to come out around the same time this product ships, October of 2012. So if you expect you'll be updating to the new iPhone, this won't be a timely thing to get. The case is designed for the iPhone 4 and 4S. I expect a new one created for the iPhone 5 or whatever they call it if this initial Kickstarter is funded. Overall, a very cool project. I do use the LED notifications, but more often than not, I don't see it because the flash is covered. So there's definitely a need for this, I think. Anyways, a link to the Kickstarter is available in the show notes at iWeekPodcast.com. And I feel obligated to tell everyone here that I personally have not backed this project because I'm a fan of the wallet case concept where I really love phone cases that combine those two. So I personally haven't taken the plunge quite yet, but who knows, I may before this project is up. On a brighter note, not that that wasn't bright since it is flash based, the LED flash, but the Roll Pro 3, the GoPro travel pack is looking more and more like it's going to get backed 21 days ago, and it's 93% backed. It's got about $700 more ago, I believe. So if you search for GoPro one word in the Kickstarter, you'll find that. And it's something that I backed. I'm really excited to see it come to fruition. And other news is Avatron changing up their error sharing app lineup. They have simplified everything down to a single app. Avatron makes some really great apps, such as error sharing. They also make error display, and they used to make error dictate. According to their blog, they're really excited to announce that they've now have a single edition of Air Sharing. It's called, perhaps not surprisingly, Air Sharing. There's no longer an Air Sharing for iPad or Air Sharing for iPhone or iPod Touch, or if you have a longer memory, Air Sharing HD and Air Sharing Pro. Just Air Sharing. As a universal app, it runs on the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. As of today, you can no longer purchase the device's specific editions of Air Sharing. But if you already have purchased one of them, don't worry. Going forward, we plan to continue to update all three editions at the same time. You should still be able to reinstall any edition of Air Sharing when you set up a new device or after restoring a device. And when an update becomes available, you should still see a notification badge on the App Store app. And you should still be able to download new versions. But wait, there is more to all this. Besides just having a single version, basically what's happening here is Air Sharing was $10. That was the universal version. Air Sharing for iPad was $8, and Air Sharing for iPhone and iPod Touch was $7. Now, air sharing, the universal and just simple air sharing app, is $5. Simpler, better, and cheaper. So this is pretty cool news. I'm a big fan of Avatron and think this is a great step for them. I think universal apps are the way to go, and customers will send their appreciation by buying their app at this new $5 price point. Now on to what I'm calling next generation OS news is some news about iOS 6. John Gruber notes that there are some news about fonts that we will get this fall. Notable additions to iOS 6 fonts include Avenir and Symbol. Now, Avenir is the typeface used throughout the new Maps app, and it's worth noting that Palm used a custom version of this font in their system font for webOS. It's pretty cool news that will delight iBooks author creators as well as people that simply like fonts. I should note that these two fonts aren't the only ones getting added, just the big, big notable ones. I'm sure there'll be other ones to come as well. In Mountain Lion news is Apple accidentally launching the Mountain Lion Up-to-Date program before Mountain Lion's actually released. The program allows Macs purchased within the past 30 days to get a free copy of Mountain Lion. Users are required to enter their date and location of purchase for the qualifying Mac. Fill out personal contact information and enter the serial numbers of the machines eligible for the free update to Mountain Lion. Once all information has been submitted, Apple generates a reference number for the claim and the actual redemption code is delivered via email. In MacRumors testing, the redemption code arrived as a password-protected PDF attachment within seconds of submitting the online form, with a second email containing a password for opening the PDF arriving at the same time. Attempting to redeem this code in the Mac App Store did not provide access to the update, however, as it has yet to go live in the store. Entering the code simply yields an error, noting that it's not a recognized valid code. Since yesterday morning, though, Apple has since pulled this program and will be relaunching it after Mountain Lion is actually available. I expect that to be sometime this week, most likely Wednesday, which is the day after Apple's earnings call. Apple tends to release something the day after an earnings call, and Mountain Lion is due out sometime this month. Anyways, be on the lookout for Mountain Lion. It will be out sometime fairly soon. I should also note this is a big step forward as far as up-to-date programs. Users are getting their up-to-date license codes or redemption codes almost instantaneously. In previous iterations of this, we had Snow Leopard where they actually mailed you a disc and took like a week or two. This is instantaneous. So this is great, great news. I remember back when Snow Leopard came out, I was got a free update, but I went ahead and just bought the $30 thing because I was impatient. So it's really cool to see this turnaround time. Related to that is Apple Store or Apple Care support representatives getting early copies of Mountain Lion. It seems that Apple has sent redemption codes to them, and these codes are actually working because it seems they're getting the last version of the developer release, the GM. So rest assured, when you call AppleCare, they will be running the latest OS. So out of next generation OS news and into Google news. First up is Google's first commercial of the Nexus 7. The commercial entitled Camping shows a father and son camping in what is later revealed to be a backyard. Gruber points out, as I noticed as well, that this commercial in many ways tricks consumers into thinking you'll have internet access outside without Wi-Fi. It clearly shows them using Google Earth and other internet services that can be explained. This can be explained in the commercial by them being in a backyard with Wi-Fi, but certainly does leave the impression that this device will always have internet, just like the iPad 3G does. Anyways, a nice ad that shows how you'll actually use the Nexus 7 rather than doing a specs commercial that Droid phones are oh so well known for. Another Google news is a rather sad story about an Android developer. According to The Verge, Dead Trigger, a zombie first-person shooter for smartphones from the maker of Shadowgun, is now free to download on Android thanks to rampant piracy on the platform. In a statement made on Facebook, developer Mad Finger Games says that even at 99 cents, the piracy rate on Android devices was unbelievably high, and that's why the app is now free. This is incredibly sad news, and people ask me again and again, why do people develop for iOS first and why is iOS a better platform? Well, things like this are prime examples of why I would stay away from Android. Last up in Google News is a rather big price drop for the on-contract Galaxy Nexus. A phone that was on contract for $300 in January is now just $99 on contract. This yet again shows why the iPhone is a better investment. The iPhone keeps its value even 6 months, 7, 8, 9 months after it ships. It also shows again why, as a consumer, a wait-and-see approach would be much better in the Android world. Google's top-of-the-line phones get cheaper every few months and brings the question to mind, why would you want to buy it on day one? Why not have your upgrade cycle be in July? A lesson to be learned for next year's Nexus phone. Wait until July, and you'll get a rather good deal on it. Closing out the show today are a few odd and end stories. First up is an odd one. This is the odd one. The other one will be the end one, I guess. A recent interview with Christopher Nolan reveals that he is not someone that uses email or even owns a phone. According to him, the idea that you're holding in your hand a device that will actually let you speak to another human being and instead using it for that, you type some silly little message and send a one-way communication. It's a very odd step backwards in communication terms. We should be calling people, not texting people. Yeah, he also notes that he doesn't really own a phone and said he just borrows phones with people around him. Don't even try explaining Siri or that you can speak into an iPhone and have words translated into text. He responds to that with the whole Siri thing. Really? Looking bewildered? What's the purpose of that? This is a bit odd and eccentric to me, but hey, many artistic people are odd and eccentric, so I'll let it be. Anyway, some interesting tidbits for sure. Last up today is a rather interesting piece of news that I have mixed feelings on. Evidently, there is a strong possibility that Warner Brothers is recutting Gangster Squad out of respect to the Colorado shootings. According to Variety, the studio moved swiftly Friday to pull from exhibits and online outlets the trailer for Gangster Squad, given the eerie association created by the Aurora shootings. Warner Brothers has since decided to remove the movie theater shooting scene from the film altogether, which opened September 7th, and is putting plans to reshoot an appropriate scene in place. I have very mixed feelings on this one. That scene is something that I was actually looking forward to seeing since I saw the trailers a few months ago. I have seen several movies in the Grauman's Chinese Theater when I lived in Hollywood and was excited to see it in this movie. Even if it was something quite horrible, it is rather unfortunate that the timing of this movie and the shootings are so close together. Warner Brothers is put in an unbelievably hard situation. There has never been anything like this in the past. I do wonder what I would do in their shoes. It seems to me, though, that people know that a movie is simply a story and a fictional thing versus a real-life tragedy. A comment over on Hypeable.com put it this way. The events were tragic, but should the scene really be cut out? I'm sure that scene played an important part in the film, and now because of some maniac, the screenwriters, actors, and everyone else on the crew must be put to work in an attempt not to offend anyone. Is there really any association between these two things? Pulling the trailer before The Dark Knight Rises is understandable, but a reshoot is a tad unnecessary. That being said, the events were definitely tragic, and we should not take them lightly. But the scene was not meant to directly or indirectly offend the victims and their families, and shouldn't be tampered with. So there you go. I couldn't have said that better myself. I do wonder what they will end up doing. As I mentioned earlier, the film is set to debut on September 7th, but if they're reshooting it and editing the film, it could be pushed back. So only time will tell on this one, I guess. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, head over to iTunes and please review the show. I'm really looking to kind of bombard the page now with reviews. Also, I do a show called I Wake Again over at iwakepodcast.com/again. So you can sign up over there. And just join me tomorrow for another edition of I Wake. Have a great day. Aloha.